Is the last prayer, even though literally not, it's the last prayer before he was turned over and then was crucified. And so just before a person dies, especially when they know they're going to die, they say things that are really critical to their mission, to their purpose, to their walk. And so as Jesus is dying, he's going to focus on exactly what you need to know. He's going to repeat. I mean, it's not going to be anything new. It's just going to be, Father, I'm coming home. I'm going to come home. And before going home and leaving my job, I'm going to tell you what's critical, what's important. And what is critical and important to Jesus on this Palm Sunday is when he started out, they all hallelujah to him. And then when he's going to end it, they're all going to turn on him. Even his own disciples, they will abandon him. They will betray him. They will deny him. And so that's exciting when that happens. Because you know, hey, I was really successful. Everything the Father came for me to do worked out great. I'm being promoted. And so he knew they're going to hate his guts. They knew that. And that's exciting. I'm just telling you, when bad things happen, it's wonderful. Why? Because that's when you get down to the bare bones of, ooh, what am I doing? Why did I do this? You know, what did I accomplish? Does anyone ever wish they would be a failure? And so Jesus not only failed with the Jews, with the world, you know, with the devil, with everybody, even his own guys, you know, fled him like mad. Like, I don't know him. I didn't know that man. Didn't know who he was. And they knew he spoke the truth. It's amazing. So I take great comfort in that. I love it when people hate me and despise me and abuse me and misunderstand me and so on. I love it.
Hallelujah.
Because it drives me close to Jesus. Yeah. It's like I'm putting my hope in nothing less than Jesus and his righteousness. Amen? So I just want to tell you my, if I would die today, which I'm not going to do, but just if I would, this would be my prayer right here. This would be my my own testimony, is I don't have a life. I have no hope, no life, no joy, no peace, no nothing in this world. All of my life and hope and joy and peace and whatever is all in heaven. It's all in my heavenly bank account. So my eyes are not here. And that's what it says. It says, you know, don't put your eyes down here. Don't be looking at things down here. Don't be worrying about your health and your sanity and your effectiveness with kids and so on. Don't tie anything to what's going on down here. Be loose. Let it loose. Because you're a lover of God. You're a lover of the Father. I mean, you have a personal love relationship, intimate with the Father. And that everything, I'll sell everything else for that. I did a long time ago. But I do it on a daily. I don't just do it one time. I do it every day. Every day. There's no hope here. There's no life here. And if I were to die today, which I'm not, but if I were to die today, which I could, which I were to die today, I would want everyone to know what I'm about to share with you. And so this is what my ministry, my life, everything is all about, is I don't have a stake down here. Everything for me is this personal relationship, not how effective I am as a husband or as a father or as a pastor or whatever. I don't really care about those things. I'm sorry. I don't. I don't care about them. I don't care if you like me or don't like me. The only thing I have going for me is Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's so ridiculous, but it happens to be true for me. And the Father spoke this to me as I woke up this morning, so it's not the message I had, but this is the message I'm going to give. Because this is the one he spoke to me about, is just tell him your heart. This is what's my heart. This is not my head. This is not my, you know, my intelligence and my will. It's not what I want and all that kind of stuff. What I want is not what I want. What I want is what he wants. So, not my will, but thine be done. That's who I am. I mean, I'm not faking it. I'm not a hypocrite or, you know, saying it just to please somebody. I'm just telling you, that's my whole life. I am totally happy. And I've lived a full and abundant life. So if I were to die, no big deal. I don't have an investment down here. I have nothing here that I did that I care about. The only thing that I care about is what he cares about. And so I know all my words weren't his, but that's what I want. I want that, but I know they weren't. I know all my deeds weren't his, but that's what I wanted. So only God can like me for that. Amen?
Amen.
If you hated me or misunderstood me or thought I was whatever, you were right. So I don't have any argument with anybody. I don't think I'm anything. I was born nothing. I'm going to die nothing. But I want to be nothing. I want to be everything for him and nothing for myself. Why? Because he was everything for me. Everything he had, everything he owned, he let it go to come down here to tell me, Jim, I want you to be my father's son. I'm the only begotten, but I want you to come along with me. You know, we're going to get married someday. That's cool. I'll take it. I'll take it. I'm everything you're looking for. Now, as a little kid, I didn't believe that because I never went to church, ever. Not at birth, not any time. I was 11 before I ever went to a church, so I didn't even know what it was all about. I just thought they were a bunch of hypocrites. And so I didn't really want to go, but my third father, Adolf Hitler, wanted us to go. And so he forced us to go at 11 because that's what Lutherans did. And he was a German Lutheran, so he insisted, you're going to go and you're going to like it. But I hated it. I did not want to go and I did not want to like it. And the first thing I learned, I'm not going to tell you the story, but the first thing I learned was Christians are hypocrites. But I already knew that, but that confirmed it. I mean, within 30 minutes, I knew this thing is fake and phony. And believers are nothing. Amen?
Amen.
I'll ask that again. Do you know that believers, most believers, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Methodists and Presbyterians and stuff like that. They're just lukewarm. They're just hypocrites. You know, they're not. Why? Because they have head knowledge without heart knowledge. That's why. Their heart isn't in it. My heart is 100% in it, meaning I don't have a life. I don't have any joy. I don't have any peace apart from Jesus. Apart from me, you can do nothing because you are nothing and have nothing. That's why you do nothing. But in me, you can do all things. That's amazing. So if I did all things, I would just laugh. If somebody, you know, exalted me somehow and said, oh, he was really a good pastor or something, I'd say, okay, that's a joke to me. Because I know Jesus did anything good, that was Jesus. And you didn't even know what you're talking about, because if you really knew me, you wouldn't at all honor me or anything. Because I'm a jerk, an idiot, a nothing, a zero. Amen? Now, I believe I'm like unto you. I believe that I'm here among friends who are all in the same boat. I believe you're all fakes and liars and so on and so forth. But I don't care about that because that's not what Christianity is to me. Christianity is not how great we are. It's how great God is. It's not how good you are. It's how good God is. It's not how smart you are. It's how smart God is. It's not how capable you are. It's how incapable you are, and you're a great liar. You're one of the best, and so on. And I love liars and hypocrites. I really do, because there's so many of them. So I'm right at home in this rotten world, And I don't expect anything out of it. I believe it's my Father's world, and I believe everybody rebelled. Amen? And even the Christians that are here, I believe, are Christians in name, but in fact, they're not so hot. Not really what you're supposed to be. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
I want to do that again one more time. Amen?
Amen?
So you're a Christian, and it could be written on your tombstone. Christian, barely. Something like that. You know, nice try. You did the best you could. But it wasn't really what God required if you performed it. You failed there in your performance. You all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So whatever good you have, it's borrowed. It's something he gave you as a gift, an entrustment. So you're trusting him based on a promise that even though today you don't look like it, someday you will. That's a promise. You don't look like a Christian today. You don't look like Jesus Christ. And every once in a while you do something, you go, I think that is a Christian right there. Well, it probably is. Every once in a while, but it's every once in a while. It's not day by day, constant, continuous. But I want you to know that you don't have a life apart from Jesus. You don't have a life. And that's not a head statement. That's a heart statement. When you fall in love with God, or you fall in love with anybody, you lose yourself because you fell in love. When you fall in love with somebody, that means they're now part of you. You're no longer you. You are now in love with them or it. It could be ice cream. Could be, you know, any kind of thing in this world. I mean, you can fall in love with a lot of stuff. But with God, he requires all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And whatever he requires, he offers, he gives, he does it. And if he doesn't does it, you does it. And if you does it, it's not perfect. It's not complete. It's not final. It's not certain at all that it has any merit or value. In fact, guaranteed it doesn't, according to the Bible. Guaranteed that anything you does is evil. It's sin. It's less than perfect. Because sin is less than perfect. You missed the mark. The mark was Christ-like. You less than. Missed it. You either missed the whole target or you didn't get into the bullseye. Does that make sense? You might have hit the target, but way off to the edge. But you weren't like Robin Hood that could split the arrow that he just shot, you know, two in a row kind of thing. So everybody here is a failure. And I want you to rejoice in that. That's exciting. Praise God. That is your worship. Your worship is to say, you know what? I ate of that tree every day, the one you weren't supposed to. In other words, I actually listened to my own mind. I went by my own will, my own desires, my own wants. I actually felt what I wanted to feel, and I felt good about it. In other words, you failed. So Jesus wants you not to have a mind of your own, not to have a will of your own, not to have your own emotions. He wants you to have the ones he wants you to have. When he wants you to have, how he wants you to have. For example, he wants you to rejoice always. How many have done that? How many have rejoiced always? I mean, without exception, even in your dreams. You know, your hands are like this, and you're, woohoo! Glory to God! I have no life apart from you. You know, you that's not you. And you know, and if it was, and I'll tell you why it isn't. It isn't just that you couldn't do it, which you couldn't, but it's that you wouldn't do it even if you could. Because you know that would be, you'd be hated. You would be despised. Anyone who lives a godly life will be persecuted. Did you know that? You'd have to suffer. That'd be a hell of a life. That would be a hell of a life because you'd have to suffer. You'd have to give up your mind, your will, your emotions, which know how to preserve yourself, self-preservation. Everybody knows how to preserve themselves. Hey, whoa, you're attacking me. I'm going to attack you next. So, you know, don't even dare to attack. You don't know who I am. How many have that pride? Do you know who I am? I can get vengeance on you. Did you know that people are like that? Again, I'm talking about Methodists. I'm not talking about this group here. So, Jesus on his last day, this is what he's saying. He's just about to be turned over and everything. And this is his last prayer. Now let's listen to it. Let's listen to exactly what Jesus says. Palm Sunday, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. These words spake Jesus, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven. Where are your eyes? He lifted up. He is now at his last breath. He's just got very little left to say. This is going to be his last prayer to God in front of his disciples, and they're all listening to this prayer that he's praying. And now he's just going to, I'm only going to do a couple of verses, so don't, just relax. He is going to now bare his heart. First thing he says is, I don't have any eyes for what's going on down here. My eye is not on my mission that I just accomplished. I'm not into my mission. I know I did that. I did what he said. But my eye is, I'm coming home. I'm going home to Father's house. This is not my home here. This is not your home. This is not home. This is not heaven. Your home is in heaven. And did you know, even if he came today, it'd be another 1,000 years before you'd go home? Are you aware of that? Now, spiritually, you're there. And that's what accounts for your joy and your love and your peace and your patience and so on. That's what accounts for that. But the truth is, you're not home yet. You have not seen the Father face to face. You haven't seen the Father face to face. Nobody here has seen the Father face to face. You have not seen your Father's face except in the face of Jesus. It shows the Father will be satisfied. He said, no, no, no. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's as far as you got. You saw the holiness of the Father through the mercy of the Son according to the power of the Holy Ghost. Now that you have. But you haven't yet seen the Father's love. Did you know that the Father loves you? The Father himself, he says, meaning not me. I'm the Son. But the Father himself loveth you. That's amazing. That's amazing that you're a son, a daughter, a relative of, born of God the Father. And God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But we're actually children of the Father. We're actually children of the Father. Male, female, whatever, that all goes away. In heaven, there's not going to be any of that, those kind of distinctions. How many know in heaven, you're going to be different? You know, not like here. But you could start here today and not see all those distinctions that we make. And I don't see you as you look. I see you as you are in heaven. I don't see you for what you just did or said or didn't do. We were talking about that in the car coming here. I don't see enemies. I don't see people who have betrayed me and all this kind of stuff. I don't see that. I know they did it. But I love them. I love them. They're doing a good job. Go for it. I mean, if you hated me, you were smart. If you despised me, you were smart. I mean, I've been despised from the beginning, and I love it. It's exciting to me. And I like being misunderstood. I do. Jesus was misunderstood. Did you know that? You know that the disciples never understood him. Never. Isn't that amazing? Here's Jesus. He's the Son of God, and not like me, a jerk. He is Son of God, and his own closest guys betrayed him, denied him, and abandoned him. I think that is an awesome testimony to his effectiveness. As a manager, as a visionary, that guy failed. He didn't have anybody on his side down here. He lost every one of his disciples. Remember the Palm Sunday thing? Lift up your palms so they can see that. Yay, Jesus, Son of God, Son of David. You know, they had all this nice stuff to say. And then they killed him 4 days later. They killed him. The same crowd that hailed him is the same crowd that nailed him. Isn't that funny? I mean, that is funny. That's funny. I mean, that shows how fickle people are, right? They are just, hey, Hosanna to the Son. Little kids were running around, hey, Jesus, you know, and so on. And then a few days later, their parents are all saying, crucify that so-and-so. You know, and he had lost everything. Now all his enemies and his friends all abandoned the guy. He was all alone. Isn't it good to be lonely? How many here, don't raise your hand. Now, how many here have been lonely, meaning, geez, you know, I'm all alone. I got nobody. How many have ever experienced that? I know a whole bunch of you have, but I'm just saying that's a good thing. That shows you what vanity is in this world. How vain to imagine that you are actually respected, loved. I remember my mother telling me that when she tried to abort me. I didn't learn that until I was 38, I think. Peggy knows exactly, but whatever. Whenever it was, that was the first time I heard that she tried four different occasions to get rid of me because grandmother said, he'll ruin your life. I mean, you're not going to have a life if you bring this son into the world. And, you know, she was one night standed with this guy who's my biological father, and then she never saw him again. He never saw her. He had no idea that there was a child born until I met him umpteen years later. And so when she told me, you know, that, I was excited about it. You know, how did you do it? Oh, I'm not going to tell you that. You know, I want to hear. I was obviously so clever that I avoided all your tricks. You were not very good at aborting. I'm not mad at you. I got here. I don't care how I got here. I don't care what sins you sinned. I love those sins. Because that I wouldn't be here if it hadn't been for you sinning. Do y'all see that? She did not think that was funny. she found no humor in that at all. But anyway, the point is that I did. Because here I am. Now, if you thought you were somebody, that could deflate you. But if you knew you were nobody, it had no impact at all. Because I was a Christian at that point, and I was in love with Jesus. I didn't care how I got here. I didn't care what my past was. I didn't care what my future was. I met Jesus Christ, and I sold everything for that pearl of great price. I drank the drink that satisfies forever. I remember the day and the hour, because I resisted that Jesus thing for a long time. But the day I met him, I fell in love. I have been in love with him exactly today as I was that first day. I know some people start out kind of high and then they apostatize or fall away. I never have. Never will. I'm just as happy today and just in love today as I ever was. And I didn't know Zip. I mean, I had head knowledge, but I didn't know him until that moment. But the moment I met him, I was born again. I knew it. This is the truth that has set me free forever. Now, let's imagine here the piano is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Let's imagine that's the tree that he said, don't eat of that tree. I'm just giving you one thing. If you do this one thing, I'll be so blessed. It'll be worship to me. If you'll just worship me by never eating of that tree where you would be independent of me and try to know what good and evil was. Don't ever be on your own with your own will, your own mind, your own emotions, your own life. Don't ever be independent of me and eat of that tree. You don't know good and evil. I tell you what good is. I tell you what evil is. How many know that there was something in man that wanted to eat that tree? And the woman, not Adam, he was a clunkhead like me. But that woman saw right away, I wonder what's wrong with that tree? You know, I don't see anything's wrong with that tree. And she looked it over and said, you know, the little snake just told me, if I ate of that tree, I would be like God, knowing good and evil. I'd be wise. That's neat. Can you see why a woman would fall for that? Because she didn't think it was so cool to be under Adam. She just thought to herself, you know what? The guy's not that sharp. I know it's a gift of God. I know that. I understand that. But he's not as sharp as I am. I don't feel that safe with him. Even though he's innocent and so on, I still despise him. How many know you can pick on a husband? I mean, they're pickable. You know, you can pick on them and undermine them and emasculate them. I don't think that's funny. That is funny. Has anybody ever been married? And even though they love you, they're all sticking. Oh. And so I love that. Peggy once said, why are you not wanting to be with me? I'm scared. What of? You know, you're taller and bigger and stronger and stuff. Why are you scared? I don't know. I just have a feeling if you ever got in close to me, and I'm not letting you in, but if you ever got in close to me, you'd dig that thing right in me and just turn it and twist it and get even me for all the bad things that I did. I mean, no, not only did I do bad things, but I also avoided doing good things. And that was a disappointment to her. That was a disappointment. You know, she she was thinking, you know, he said he loves me, but he really loves himself. He doesn't really love me, which was true. That was totally true. I just used her. I totally used her. Can anyone else say that? No. You don't want to raise your hand. But I just used her as an object. She was not a subject. She was not a person. She just was an object. She could wash and sew and do all that stuff, go to work, and then I could study and be a good student. I loved it. I didn't even need a scholarship. I had one, but I didn't even need a scholarship. She could just kind of like go to work, and I could study all day and do what I wanted to. And so I abused her deliberately, consciously, knowingly. And if she would ask me, you know, do you ever think of me? No. Oh, so that kind of devastating, you know. Well, do you love me? No. Oh, well, why'd you marry me? I don't know. I just did. As you said, how many can tell that is not a good thing? That is not a good thing. However, that was actually what I did. And so being married to her, why should I lie? Let's tell her the whole truth. You want to know the truth? Here's the truth. I don't care anything. I don't care what you say or do or don't do or don't say. I don't believe in all that love stuff. I've never seen it, and I don't believe in it. I don't believe in the God thing or any of that. I just believe in me. So I'm here to get all I can get. And I'm not mad at you for being mad at me. That's great. That's good. Go for it. You're free. I'm not binding or holding anybody. How many know that I don't force? I don't manipulate and trick. Why? I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't trust people. So when someone says they love me, I know they don't. Did you all hear what I just said? Is this fun? It's the truth. Do you know that nobody but God loves? Are you aware of that? Even though he made us, we all rebelled and ate of the tree he said not to eat of. And then when he provided Jesus over here, let's say this cross. Let's say Jesus here on this cross. I love that, being right there. Here he says, eat of me. Unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part in me. So there, if you ate of that tree, you need to eat of that tree. Now, does that look like the tree of life? Does it have spring flowers all over it and, you know, branches and leaves and flowers and fruits? No, it doesn't. All it has is me. Me. And I want to kill Jesus. That's it. There's nobody born of woman that wants to worship that Jesus right there. Nobody. Are you all aware of that? Intellectually at least, conceptually at least. Are you aware that Jesus is not your first love? You're your own first love. That's why he says, look, if you eat of this tree and then you're going to die, I've got a solution over here. Take this antidote, take this medicine over here. That will get rid of the poison. That will get rid of all your sins, and you'll find happiness and joy in eating of that tree. How many know that nobody did it? On Sunday, they all praised him. But by the time Thursday came around, they all wanted him crucified. Even his own. Even his own. They just lost all hope. They realized they had no faith in Jesus Christ. Suddenly, after after he was crucified, they just all realized, you know what? That guy didn't do zip. I had one of our church members once say, and I love this. It was meant to be mean, but they said, "What good are you?" Because I had failed somehow. I don't know where she came up with that. But she saw me for what I really was, a nothing. And so she expressed it over the phone. She was over the phone. "Well, what good are you?" It was so accurate. It was so amazing. Did y'all see the humor of that? Anyway, I loved her for saying it. And I thought, you know, she'll make a good disciple someday. That, and you know what? Today she is my best disciple. She actually is. Unbelievable. They listen to my tapes night and day all the time. When they're in the car, they've got it going. And at home, they've got it going. And they call and say, you know, they live in another state. But that's powerful. You see how someone can hate you and then change their mind. They can love you and then change their mind. Amen? Come on. Somebody should be, "Yes, Pastor, that is truth. That is so awesome what you're saying." People are fickle. People do not know what they're doing. And so he just said, look, over here you're supposed to behave yourself. Don't eat of the tree. But if you do, then go over here. Here's my promise. Here's my law. Now, half of the world disobeys Jesus, disobeys God's law, and then the other half thinks they've kept it. That's all the religions. Buddhism, you know, Mohammedism, all these isms out there. All those religions want you to behave. Did you know that God never wanted you to behave? And thank God, because you didn't. He wanted everyone to be like me. I not only sinned, I enjoyed it. I deliberately did it. I'm as cold as a snake. I don't know if snakes are cold, but I'm cold. I have no love, no warmth, no nothing, no guilt. I've never felt guilty and bad like most people. I don't know. I just can't identify with that. So I have no emotions. I have no sympathy or empathy. Every once in a while I do. If I see a little kid hurt, that gets me. And I remember the day Carl was born. I just felt like it's going to be sad. This little girl. I was at the hospital here, this hospital right here, and then I went over to the Botanic Gardens, and I sat down in the snow. And I realized, God, I don't believe in you. You know. You don't either. See, there's two of us. And so I just said, you know, this little girl is born into this family. I'm the head. And I am so crummy. But I'll fake it with her for a while. And she's so young, she'll buy into me. And she'll love me. And then she'll be destroyed later when she finds out what I'm really like. How many, do you understand what I just said? When they really find out the whole truth. And but being that she's young, like she is, I know she's going to love me right away because I'm a big fake and a liar. And I know she's going to love me. And then she's going to find out what I'm really like because my behavior doesn't match up with, you know, what her illusions are. And when she finds out, she'll be devastated. So why did I bring her into the world? I mean, that's not a nice thing because she'll find out who I really am. You all don't see this. It's powerful. This is so powerful. It's naked. Raw. Now, God, since I don't believe in you, I'm going to take my hands like this. I'm going to hold her in my hands, imaginative, and I'm going to put her on your altar because she's not my child. Because if she's my child, I'll ruin her. I will absolutely ruin her. And that little girl hadn't done anything wrong, but she'll be ruined by me, her dad. And if you don't expose it to her, I'm sure mom will let her know one way or the other that dad isn't exactly what he cooked up to be. How many know people are not everything they're appearing to be? And every once in a while you catch them off guard and they're getting mad, ruthless. Has anybody ever discovered that? I wish you could raise your hands. Because I know Peggy raised her hand. Thank you. But, you know, the truth is, it's a big illusion you had that a man is worthwhile. You know, it's like, that is the children of Adam have all eaten of that tree. And in that tree, you find out that what a man claims to be, because men are big liars. Let God be true and every man a liar. How many know that men are liars? I'll say that again. How many know that men are liars? Now, you thought I meant male men, but I meant not just the male man, but I meant the female man, too. Men, mankind. They're all liars. Everybody's a liar because you married that man. Why'd you do it? What an idiot you are for marrying a man. Should have been smarter than that and not take a big risk with believing in some Prince Charming that doesn't exist. So that's the reason for cowboy songs. All cowboy songs. She left me the other night. And I've been sad. And so they're just drinking their beer and singing their songs. And that's all they ever sing about. I know they sing about Jesus, but the truth is, that's their favorite songs. You know, and he's always miserable and, you know, sad. And she'd just come back and so on and so forth. I love Western music. It's awesome. Because it's pretty much raw. It's pretty much the way things are. Cowboys tend to think that a horseshoe is a horseshoe. I mean, they don't tend to lie to themselves about that. God, that woman, I hate her. If you ever met a real cowboy, do we have any here? I mean, you know, are you one? You're kind of like that. I mean, kind of mean at times. Very mean, yeah. And she's one of our Christians. She's a good Christian, too. How many know that people are nasty? I mean, God says that. All have sinned and fallen short of the knowledge, the glory, the beauty, the truth of God. So that's beautiful. So what God wants to do is offer Jesus. He's your substitute. There's the guy that your life is all bound up in his or it ain't. If you're all bound up in him, then you're not over here eating of this tree. If you're not in him, you're eating of that tree. You're relying on yourself. You're an independent self trying to make your way through. And half of the world is complaining about the other half. There are the nasty people like me. And then there are the nice people that feel like, I just feel so bad. He's hurt me so much. It's so deep, etc. Well, I want you to know I don't have any emotion for that at all. I have zero emotion for that. So when you come to me and say, my husband is a beast, I'll say, wow, that is amazing. Like, are you surprised? Did you marry him? Did you ask God ahead of time? Well, I thought, but he deceived me. Ah, God deceived you? No, not God. Well, did you really ask? Because he would have told you if you asked. Here's what he would have said. Wait until he's dead. How many know that women get married to men before they're cooked? Before they've been put in the oven? Because if you marry a man that's still alive and he's still, you know, full of his own vim and vinegar, you're going to be disappointed and hurt. But girls, I think, are foolish. This is my opinion. I think girls are foolish imagining that there's a man out there that's wonderful. All men are like me. This is sad. It's sad. That's pathetic. But nevertheless, all men are unreliable. Only God is reliable. Put not your trust in man. Put your trust in the Lord. Has God lied? It's true. Every man's a liar. I mean, every man has a little line that he puts out, but he doesn't hold to that line for very long. Men are very short-lived. I remember there was at least 2 hours after our wedding when I behaved. But after that, no. I just can't hold out that long. I mean, you know, sooner or later, you will find the true person that's there. Are you following? I'm making a point here that Jesus is telling us something about life. It doesn't work over here. It only works over here. And you know what? You have nothing to do with that. That's just a medicine you can take if you're sick. If you realize, wow, I got nothing. I am nobody. All my brains, all my will, all my desires, all my imaginations, all my feelings, all my emotions are worthless because they do not help me to find joy and peace and love, patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, meekness, self-control. There is your whole life. Right there. That's my whole life. My whole life is not in being good. It's in being with Him who is. My whole life. My whole life. I am always happy, always joyful. And Peggy can tell you, I behave much better than I did when we first got married. Are you all relieved? And not only that, she'll look over me sometimes wistfully and think, huh, he does have some decent qualities. He is, you know, he has some redeeming features. How many know that that's a lie? I don't. I haven't changed a bit. You know what changed is my relationship to Him. I went to Him and He crucified my flesh. Crucified it. Killed it. How many know you have to do that every day? It doesn't just happen one time, like believing in Jesus. This one is daily. That daily he wants to kill me. He's after me every day. Jim, what? You're about to eat of the tree. What? Oh, that tree? Yeah. It's good fruit. I love the fruit that's on that tree. Don't. I was going to go with my mind, with my will, with my emotions, with my desires, with my thoughts, with my feelings, with my actions. And Jesus said not to. But everybody does. Everybody does. Why is it wrong that I do it? And so Jesus said, you know what? I can't even talk with you. I'm just going to have to kill you. But I need your agreement to that. Would you agree that you are worthless? Sure. Would you agree that you should be killed? Yeah. Do you agree you're worthless and worth nothing? Yeah. Are you ready for me to kill you? No. Why do you want to stay alive? I don't know. But when I met Jesus, I realized, you know, if I worship Him and turn away from me, I will find life. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's the only hope there is in this world. Get to Jesus. Don't just get to Him as believer. Get to Him as disciple. Submit to Him. And then don't just get to Him as disciple, but become like Him as your bridegroom. And you're His bride. That is death to the flesh. You have no dreams of your own. You have no will of your own. You have no agenda of your own. You have no life. You have no hope. You have no joy. You have nothing apart from Him. But in Him, everything. He's your everything. Now, I can't convince you of that. I can only tell you that's my testimony. I am completely 100% in love with Jesus. And I do worship Him night and day. I do. I don't have a life of my own. I don't want that life anymore. That life I don't believe in. I can die today and I'm happy. If I end it today, I'm completely full. Because I believe everything that He wrote down in His Bible. I believe in the certainty of the Word and not the security of this world. I believe the certainty of this Word, it's a promise. Jim, I will do everything. I will forgive you. I will then perfect you. I will then marry you. I will then give you the prize for the race that you've run. And you will inherit everything with me forever and ever and ever. And you'll never perish. I believe that. Do y'all believe that? Amen. It's an intimate love affair. Yeah. It's not some head knowledge. It's not a doctrine. It's not a church you go to. It's not, you know, well, we believe in infant baptism. We believe in immersion. We believe it has nothing to do with all that stuff. It has to do with Jesus Christ is my life. I'm married to Him. He's my beloved. And He changes me just by looking at Him. I'm not looking at my behavior. I'm not looking at how I've changed. I don't care about it. I'm not going to be saved by any of that. I don't go to hell because of my bad things, and I don't go to heaven because of my good things. I go to heaven because of his good, which is always good, on my behalf. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for me. Why should I believe that? But I do. I believe that. Why? Because I know I'm no good. I know I'm no good. That's my advantage over so many people, is that I always knew I was no good, and I loved being no good. I enjoyed it. I loved abusing people, using people, stealing from people, conning people. I loved it. Is there anyone else? Now I'm talking just to the men. Is there anyone else here as a man who could get up and say, Pastor, I don't know if I've experienced your kind of rotten life, but I believe I'm exactly like you. Anyone? One, two, three, four. Anyone else? Some of the young guys don't want to do it. Five, six. Praise God. That's powerful. You know why? That's your only hope. Your only hope is not, I hope I don't eat of this tree. No, no, you've already eaten of that tree. Your only hope is to eat of that tree, get full up and vomit, and then went over to that tree for help. Because you won't ever go to that tree unless you realize this tree is not life. This is the tree of death. This is the tree of life. This is death. This is life. This is lies. This is the truth. This, etc. Everything in this world boils down to just two things. Which tree you're going to eat from? This tree of life, he said, you may freely eat of all the trees, but of this tree thou shalt not eat, lest you die. However, if you do, and he didn't say this, but this came out later. But if you do, there's this other tree, the tree of life. This tree of life is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that have set me free from the law of sin and death. So here's the good news, here's the bad news. But God wanted everybody to come and know that I don't care if you say you eat of it or not, you ate of this tree. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You were not perfect. You did not do it right. This is the only man that did it right, and he's outside of you, and you have to have a relationship to him that's born of heaven. That is, you're filled with the heavenly Holy Spirit. You're not filled with your own spirit. This is not you improved. This is you dead. His death on the cross, your justification by faith, is not what's important. It's not what's glorious. The glory is that your death, you're taking up your cross daily, is a testimony to the glory of his death, that you enter not only into his mercy, but you enter into his sufferings on a daily basis, where you don't eat anymore of that tree, but you only eat of this tree. That's a true marriage. I am the best husband now. Why? Because I love Peggy with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength. I do. Absolutely do. But I do it because of the written word. I don't do it because of feelings and emotions. And I don't check with my feelings and my emotions. I don't wait on them. Those are liars. I just go tell her, I love you with all my heart. And I'll get on my knees, whatever it takes. I have no pride. I have no anything. Because I know apart from him, I could do nothing. But in him, I can do all things. Not in me. I know that that's my life right there. There's no hope over here. There's all my hope. There's all my joy. So if I die today, nothing. It's nothing. I just want to stay alive to bless Peggy. Did you hear what I just said? Yeah. How a man treats his wife shows what kind of Christian you are. Jesus didn't come down for himself. The truest glory is not Jesus. The truest glory is not Jesus. It's not the Father creating the world. That's not the glory. It's not even Jesus dying on the cross for you for mercy. The truest glory is that Jesus, through the Holy Ghost, could live inside of you and transform you into the likeness of Christ so that you would be a child of the Father forever and ever. That is the glory of God. You're not here to just be a Christian believing. You're here to be transformed, Lucy. Transformed into his image. Don't forget that. And into his likeness. And I know sometimes she does naughty things. I do. Am I right? So to be transformed is to know that God loves you no matter what. Even though you did everything he said not to do and you did nothing that he said to do, over here is his mercy. So the holiness of God is seen through the mercy of God according to the power of God. Because the Holy Spirit comes forth as the fruit of this tree to change you, not to change Jesus, not to change the Father. This is their spirit. When you believe here, you receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit inside of you, transforming you from day to day so that people actually see Jesus, not you, in you, through you, by you, and they know that is the true and living God. The best thing that I can do as a pastor is to tell you the truth, not to lie to you. I don't lie to you. I tell you the truth. I would tell you more. But it's hard because people don't want to know the truth. But the truth is the only thing that will set you free. It isn't just believing in Jesus. It's also submitting to Jesus on a daily, continual, constant basis. And you can't do that. Only he can do that. The Holy Spirit's in you to will. You don't have a will. You don't will to do God's will. The Holy Spirit's in you to will and then to do of his good pleasure. The Holy Spirit. That takes him. It's not you. You weren't Jesus. You weren't the Holy Spirit, and you're not the Father. The Father isn't convicting you to destroy you. He's convicting you so you'll run over there. Eat of that tree, I knew you would, so that you can then run over and eat of that tree and you'll be well. How simple it is. But it really works. Really, really, really. So the best has been saved to the last. It's like dessert. The church is today still lukewarm. It's still hypocritical. It's just people with head knowledge. People that do things and say things and so on that, you know, people pleasing. And the churches are wonderful on the surface of things, but that isn't what God wants. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want morality. He doesn't want people behaving. He doesn't want any of that. Anything you did, he doesn't want. He wants only what he does, and he wants, first of all, your death to prove it. Once you're dead, then if anything comes out of you, you know that's a miracle. Once you're dead to yourself and you realize, I don't know anything. I don't have anything. I am not anything. Only God is God. So, Jesus said these words. This is eternal life. Who could say what eternal life is? This is eternal life. That you always do what I say. No. This is eternal life. To know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hath sent. So, that's it. There it is. You know the Father through the Son. You know the Father through the Son. You know the holiness through the mercy. You know the holiness through the mercy, which then brings the power to transform you and change you from day to day to day to day. From glory to glory, he's changing me. How? Through the image and likeness that he's putting back in you who didn't have it. You lost the image and likeness after he created you. You were created to praise him all the days of your life. You didn't. You decided to live your own independent life. You decided to do things. You decided to labor. You decided to work. You decided to prove something. You decided to achieve. You decided to try to obey. You can't. It has to be a gift. There's the gift. That is the gospel right there. All the good news is not you behaving, but it's Jesus behaving. And the way he behaves, he made a promise. Now he has to keep it. He made a promise. He's the only promise keeper. I don't believe in that group of ministers out there and other people. We're going to be promise keepers. We're going to sign a thing. We'll be accountable to each other. Hogwash. Did you hear what I just said? Hogwash. That's translated as, I won't translate it. That is not true. No man can do that. Now, I know they're all Christians. They wouldn't do it if they weren't Christians. I don't believe it. I believe to God be the glory, not I kept my promise. I made a promise, sweetheart, and I'm going to keep it. How many know that is not possible? You cannot keep it with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength without being dead. And when you're dead, you don't produce anything. How many know dead people don't do anything? They don't say anything. They don't respond. The only way you can do it is to die, and then he raises you up by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's your life. That's your joy. That's your peace. That's your hope. That's a new life. That's heaven above. And Jesus spoke all these things, and then his eyes went up to heaven, and here's what he said. This is eternal life. He had another thing in there that he said, but this is verse 3. And this is eternal life. What? This is eternal life, not temporal life, not life that ends, but a life that never ends. That they know thee. That word in the Greek, gnosis or gnosis, Gnosticism, that word means an intimate, experiential, from the heart knowledge. It doesn't mean from the head. It's not just, you know, Ido. It's not, there are several words for knowing. It's none of those words. This one is experiential. I've actually experienced the living God. I would never be a Christian today if Jesus Christ hadn't supernaturally interrupted me and stopped me. I told you what I did on that day with Kara. As a baby, I held her up. God, this is not my daughter. This is your child. I will destroy her. I am not good. But I give her to you, and you have about a year and a half to 2 years to get me to be a Christian, and I don't believe in you, and I don't believe you can do that. But nevertheless, I know I can't for sure. And if you want to ruin this little girl's life, that's your problem, because if you entrust her to me, she'll be ruined. There's no way. And I did that with all the kids. As soon as they were born, I said, God, it's not my child. It's yours. I give this child back. You can do anything you want. They're not mine. I don't own that child. I'm a bad steward unless you do it. So you have to kill me first. You got a year and a half to do it and make me into a believer. God did it. Within that two-year period or whatever, I fell in love with Jesus completely. I've been in love ever since. It's amazing. Do you all believe that Jesus didn't come just to die for you? He came to live in you and then to live out through you. Outer court, holy place, death, and then holy of holies, new life, resurrected life. Oh, to know him and the power of his resurrection. That is amazing. Not me. Jesus said, when they said, good teacher, he said, no. Why do you call me good? None is good. None. No one but God. So Jesus didn't say he was good, but he was good. But he didn't say he was good because he would have to say then, I'm God. But he didn't want to say that. Because his father didn't say that, so he didn't say that. But of course he was good, and he was God. But he just said, none is good but God. But he could have said, and I'm God. But he didn't want to say it, because he did everything for our sake. Not to exalt himself, but to show the love of the Father that Jesus had no life, no will, no purpose apart from the Father. But of course the Father's will was to please the Son, and the Son's will was to please the Father. So that's not what he was talking about. What he was talking about was, if I do anything, it's the Father who dwells in me that doeth the works. Amen? Amen. I've driven off all these young people right here. No idea what I said, but they all suffer for that. How many know God is good? How many know everything we teach and say and do is all good news? Why? Because you didn't do it. It's talking about God. God is good. Only God is good. No one else is good but God. How many here are willing to say, Lord, I was over here, now I'm over here. Yeah. I was over here, now I'm over here. And you have to do it every day. Because you're not just over here spiritually and over here spiritually, you're also then soulishly and soulishly. You need a new soul and you need a new body and a new life and a new everything. You need everything new. You don't just need air in your tires. You need a whole new car. Get out of that car. It's about to blow up. I just want some air in the tire so I can get on the road. No. You need more than that. You need a complete, total, brand new heart, soul, body, life. How many know you are not good enough to go to heaven? Just because you believe in Jesus, that will not get you there. You need to be not just born again, but filled with the Spirit, which means emptied of you. Filled means emptied. If you fill something with something, then whatever was in it has to be emptied first. You can't fill it until it's emptied of your flesh, of your will, of your mind, of your emotions. Lean not to your own understanding. That's that knowledge. But in all your ways, acknowledge him. That's that knowledge. That's the true knowledge, the true righteousness, the true and living God. Right there. The holiness of God, which destroys my flesh, is also the mercy of God, which forgives me, which is also the power of God that changes me from day to day so that I might walk and live for him and him alone. That's the risen Christ. That's the resurrection in Philippians 3, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. All right, who was blessed today?